Good evening. Welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN Listener Supported Radio. This is Jim Dowling, your host for the evening. Tonight, we continue in the second of our Portraits of Shasta County Pioneers. We'll listen in as May Helene Bacon Boggs delivers a luncheon address to a civic-minded group sometime during the last century. Elsie Ritchie will perform as May Helene Bacon Boggs.
Once my uncle and I were walking on a road which led from Shasta to Red Bluff. He lifted a heavy stone which had rolled upon the road and tossed it to one side. I asked why he took the trouble. I will never forget what he said. Always leave the path a little better for having passed over it. And that sentiment, my dear friends, is what I have come to share with you this afternoon. My name is May Helene Bacon Boggs. Although I was born in Pike County, Missouri, in 1863, and lived for many years in San Francisco, California, I know that my true home and my heart is in Shasta, the place that proved heaven to me. I arrived in Shasta in 1871 with my mother and siblings. Our uncle, Williamson Lincoya Smith, the division agent for the Concord Stagecoach in Northern California, had arrived many years before. And as I was a posthumous child, he became a father to me. I so loved and admired him. I reveled in his stories in which he extolled the virtues of the stage drivers, the Knights of the Rain, who held the ribbons of those six-horse coaches as they careened over mountainous roads. My uncle emphasized that the stagecoaches were the harbingers of civilization because the coaches followed the pack trails and established stations 12 miles apart where fathers and son served as hostlers for the horses and mothers prepared the food and beds for the travelers. The stage stops became the nucleus for the development of rural communities, thus playing the most important role in Northern California history. It is my desire to remind you, the descendants of these pioneers, that Shasta, that lovely spot commonly referred to as a ghost town, was built by the finest pioneers who held the Union together. Having lived many years in San Francisco, I returned to Shasta in 1930 and was shocked to see my beloved town in ruins. As I stood amongst the rubble on the threshold of my brother-in-law's store, I conceived the idea of constructing a monument in the memory of my uncle and the stage drivers of his division. I decided to do something about it that day. I hastily returned to my apartment in the Women's Athletic Club in San Francisco and proceeded to buy up lots in Shasta at tax sales and strongly encouraged the Historical Society and the Native Sons of the Golden West to do the same. In 1931, I placed a bronze plaque which commemorates my uncle and each stage driver at Shasta, and you can see it today near the Courthouse Museum. I realized then I had a single task, to perpetuate in the minds of generations to come the meaning of my uncle's times and to keep Shasta on the map. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And lest you think I am in the horse and buggy days with my quaint sentiments, I'd like to quote from the timeless mission statement of the Masonic Order to which my uncle belonged. Foster personal growth and improve the lives of others. And that sentiment has been the guiding light of my life's work. So you might be asking yourselves how I became such an adamant advocate for my sweet Shasta. Let me take you back a few years, well, maybe more than a few. You know, I did live to be 100 years old and some change. I spent my youngest years in Shasta Town. But like a lot of other Shastonians of my day, I eventually moved to Redding and lived for some time in my house at Oregon and Butte Streets. When I was still a little girl, I mentioned to my uncle that I missed my playhouse, which I'd left in Missouri. So he gave me an old stagecoach to play in. That was a great improvement over a mere playhouse. I went to school at the First Pine Street School, and later at St. Joseph's Convent in Wairika, along with May and Fanny Southern. My uncle wanted me to go to Mills College, which was still a young ladies' seminary in those days, but my older sister insisted that because I was such a tomboy, I should go to a convent. She thought that a more appropriate finishing school for me. During our school days at the convent, the Southern sisters and I took the stagecoach back and forth each week from Wairika to Reading. We happy girls sang all the way, and when we passed the northern boundary of Shasta County, May Southern leaned back, threw up her arms, and declared, "There is no place like Shasta County. Even the air is different." In 1886, a number of years after my graduation, while we lived in San Francisco, I learned to type. I was one of the first women to do so, and I made a living from it. I typed transcripts of San Francisco court proceedings and saved considerable money. I remember only one mistake. I was transcribing the proceedings of the Railroad Commission, and I typed Governor Leland Stanford was tight instead of right. The error caused much amusement. I moved back to Reading when my mother and my uncle's health began to fail. I had a beau, Angus Boggs. My mother thought him a dirty, down-and-out miner. We waited until she passed to marry. I was always civic-minded, and in 1902, I helped organize the Reading Women's Improvement Club, and I was their first treasurer. I'll never forget an early meeting. We were told of the, quote, depredations made by two roving cows on Mrs. Groves's beautiful peony beds. Much sympathy was expressed for her. Indignation rose that such depredations were allowed to occur. So we moved swiftly to organize our frontier town, planting shade trees, installing cement sidewalks, the first public horse trough, public drinking fountains, and the enforcement of city ordinances prohibiting the running of large stock in the streets. Sadly, also in 1902, my beloved uncle died. He had owned one-third of the stock in the enormous McCormick Saltzer dry goods store. His holdings amounted to the largest estate to date in Northern California, and he gave most of it to me. Angus and I subsequently moved to San Francisco, where we survived the 1906 earthquake and rebuilt our house on Nob Hill a year later. I threw all my efforts into the building of Aquatic Park and was made president of the San Francisco Recreation League, which later then developed into the San Francisco Women's Suffrage Movement. And you can see our Votes for Women banner at the Courthouse Museum in Shasta. My husband and I were very involved in the Pan-Pacific Exposition of 1916. I volunteered at the Palace of Fine Arts. Mr. Boggs volunteered at the Palace of Industry. Before Angus passed, 4 years later, we both patented several lucrative inventions. I moved into the Women's Athletic Club, which I helped found, and lived there the rest of my life. In 1930, after the shock of my life at seeing the deplorable condition of Shastatown, my life took a decided turn. Shasta had become an orphan Annie. And, as I've said, something had to be done to keep Shasta on the map. Now, I guess I'm pretty much of a crank in a lot of things. However, I do not make someone else pay for my joyrides. So I put my shoulder to the wheel and began to work on the monument to the stage drivers of Northern California and wrote my book, My Playhouse Was a Concord Coach, A History of Transportation in Northern California in the Early Years of the 19th Century. Although it turned out to be over 7,000 typed pages before I was through with it, it was actually a lot of fun. 800 copies were produced, and I gave them away to various institutions and libraries with the hopes that many more people would share my respect and love for our great pioneers. And lest you think I let the grass grow under my feet, I was so het up by the notion that the dam on the Sacramento River was going to be named Kennett Dam when people all over the world recognized the name Shasta because of our beloved mountain, which stands alone majestically with its snowy crown. Those of us who are protective of our pioneer history feel that the name of Shasta puts the dam on the map. Well, you know the saying, can't tell a Harvard man anything. In my letter of May 1937 to a Mr. Civitello of the State Travels Stimulation Committee, I told him in no uncertain terms that I was entertaining a vigorous protest against the correctness of interpolating any other name than Shasta Dam. I stated that I have experienced over 50 years of practical work in civic affairs, and I do not propose to submit to any star chamber changes or additions to any committee of which I was a member. Yours for Shasta Dam, faithfully, May Helene Bacon Box. And by golly, it must have worked. The name was changed to Shasta Dam, and I was invited to the dedication in 1951. But here, before I get thrown off your stage for being too long-winded, I must tell you about one of my favorite occupations, collecting art, paintings, and not just any paintings, but fine California artists. My apartment in San Francisco is bursting at the seams with many lovely paintings. I decided that nothing is too good for Shasta, and when the Courthouse Museum was restored, they gave me two rooms in which to display my paintings and my collection of books. I am doing what I can to bring much that is beautiful to Shasta for the generations to come. I made sure that my paintings would not be loaned to other museums. Let the people come to Shasta, the Queen City of the North. I believe art inspires us to appreciate, enjoy, and reflect on what we see and observe. One of my favorite painters whose work exemplifies this creed is Thaddeus Welch. You can see his innate love of California nature and how it is interpreted in the numerous canvases of my collection. Thaddeus has given so much that is beautiful for others to enjoy, and I do hope that if you are a weary traveler, you will stop, rest a while, and enjoy these paintings at the Courthouse Museum. You will notice that my collection does not include any examples of the modern movement in art. It is my hope that this insanity will pass on. Well, my time is getting short, and it's been such a pleasure to speak to you this afternoon. I passed away in 1963, but before I left this world, I spent a splendid 100th birthday at my old home in San Francisco. Because my doctor worried that I might need to be hospitalized due to the potential excitement, he arranged for an ambulance to deliver me to and from the party. Well, needless to say, I enjoyed myself immensely. And when the party was over, there was still time on the ambulance driver's dime, so I made him drive me in grand ambulance style to all my favorite places in San Francisco. You know, many people probably thought me overbearing, single-minded, determined to get my own way, but I want you to know that I did it all, so we shall never forget the memory of Shasta, the pioneer city of Northern California. We are very lucky to have Sue Lang, a docent at Shasta State Historic Park, for the only designated art gallery within the California State Park system. Her expertise on May Helene Bacon Boggs, something that really helped me put together the monologue that you just heard. I met her two summers ago when she took me through the gallery and really helped me understand many aspects of May Helene's life that I had no access to before. So thank you so much, Sue, for being with us today.
Thank you for asking.
We are delighted, and it's really an exciting thing to be able to interview people for this series that are people with real expertise in these areas. One thing I wanted to ask you about, we've heard in the monologue about sort of the landmarks within May Helene's life, is what is her enduring legacy for those of us in Shasta County?
I think that she provided such an example for women that she didn't know the word no. If she saw something that needed to be done, she rolled up her sleeves and did it. And I think about the Women's Improvement Club. She spearheaded that. And the Women's Improvement Club, when I first heard the term improvement in the me generation, oh, how do I improve? You know, no. It was improvement. How do we improve our environment through planting flowers, putting fountains in, making the aesthetics more pleasing in your environment? So that's what Women's Improvement Clubs, which the light didn't go on for me. And the Women's Improvement Club was instrumental in contacting the Carnegie Corporation and asking for $10,000 to build the Carnegie Library. And so
it was
through her efforts, and let's hope that she spurred other women on before she left our town. And then when she moved to San Francisco, she didn't stop either. You know, she was involved in the Aquatic Center, and she was involved in the 1915 Pan Pacific Exposition. And I'm wondering if that's where she didn't obtain her love for art, because she was involved with the Palace of Fine Arts and then became an avid art collector, which we are the beneficiary of that today. So I think her legacy is that you just do it. She was a collector of all kinds of art, but especially, I think that was especially wonderful in that she did encourage women artists as well.
Yes, and definitely in that period. And what time period are we looking at for her being so supportive of the artistic communities in Northern California?
Well, I'm thinking that and this is just piecing, you know, you get a timeline of different things that she did. And she lived in San Francisco on Nob Hill. After her husband died in 1920, then she moved, but she kept her house in Nob Hill. And I think it was after her husband died, so after 1920, mm-hmm. is when she really started to collect. And maybe that interest was piqued by the as I said, the Pan Pacific Exposition. And she knew many of these artists.
Yes.
They were, you know, she'd see them on the streets. These were artists who studied in San Francisco. San Francisco was an art mecca, mm-hmm. just like Paris, and people came here to study art. And so artists were all around her in Nob Hill. And her husband, Angus, was a member of the Bohemian Club. And most of the male artists who were represented at Shasta State Historic Park, I keep calling it Old Shasta, but at the park, were members of the Bohemian Club. And that's how, that was their way to do expositions and network with each other.
And in my research of getting to read the letters at the State Historic Park, she was very particular about the style of art that she wanted to promote. Abstract expressionism was not in her wheelhouse, shall we say. And so what were the kinds of things that she really admired about particular artists?
Well, what's represented at the gallery is really, and it surprises people when they hear this term, but it is California Impressionists. Mm-hmm. and that's a certain genre of art. We think of Impressionists, we think of, you know, Monet and Renoir, but this was California Impressionists. And when artists would come to California, they would see the natural beauty that we have. And everywhere they looked, they could see something that was worthy of a painting. And that was their inspiration. So if you were to try to sum up the artwork, it is California Impressionists. And those artists that she has represented there were excellent representation of that genre.
And many of these artists are well known and represented in the Oakland Museum.
Yes.
Where else could you see some of these painters?
Some of the work is at the Smithsonian. Some is some of the work is at in New York, at the Crocker Museum, and at the if you go to the De Young, you'll see many of the same artists represented there at the De Young as you have here in Old Shasta. You have William Keith, and you have Thaddeus Welch, and you have Maynard Dixon. Maynard Dixon, who he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And they're not just here. They're represented. They were internationally known.
This is one of our best kept secrets. We don't want it to be a secret. What do you think that she would think of the time period that we're living in now in terms of, you know, maybe the Me Too movement and, you know, strides women are taking now?
Well, I think she would probably be at the forefront saying, yeah, do it, ladies. It's high time. But one of the things that I do not think that she would be happy with, and this is all conjecture, of course, is the lack of civility today.
Yeah.
Because she was very proper. And in spite of she got many things done, she did it with finesse, and she was always a lady. And I would think today that she would find that most objectionable, that our lack of civility for each other.
Well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful way to end our great interview, and thank you, Sue, for that. And just tell us again where we can see the paintings. For those who don't know.
Okay. The paintings are in the Shasta State Historic Park, about 6 miles west of town on 299 in the Courthouse Museum. And many people go to the courthouse, and they don't even know that there's two rooms full of these lovely paintings. They just walk by and want to go down to the gallows, want to go to the jail, see the other exhibits, and so often they miss the gallery. And there are the historic park is now doing YouTube presentations. They have one now of a tour through the gallery that you can get on YouTube. And because a docent is not always there to take you through, and it really does need some interpretation. The paintings are displayed in what they call salon style, which is it was Victorian era style, many layers of paintings. And so when you go in, you're sort of overwhelmed, and that's a shame, because you really need to have someone take you through that, interpret what you're seeing. She has a scholarship, and my understanding it's still going on today. And you know, from a pragmatic standpoint, when you think about the age she was when she married, she was in her late 30s. She never had any children. And I like to think that she took on the community under her wing as any, you know, in a sort of maternal way. And I don't know if that's the case or not, but one would think that those energies that women still today have to put towards their families, she could put into her community.
And are you available to give tours?
I am periodically. I have no set schedule. If there's an organization that would like me to take them on a tour, I don't like to do more than, say, about 20 people. Contact Jonathan at the State Park, and we can arrange that.
Thank you very, very much.
You're sure welcome.
And that concludes tonight's program on Scratched Up Radio Theater. We thank you for listening to KKRN Community Supported Radio. We'd also like to thank Lily Dubois for technical support, Sue Lang for sharing so many rich details about the life and times of May Helene Bacon Boggs. As part of an update to tonight's program, we at KKRN and Scratched Up Radio Theater wish to thank the many agencies, including firefighters, first responders, law enforcement, utility workers, the numerous volunteers, and, well, the whole community in general for how they tackled the fire and the incredible challenges that it created. Sadly, much of May Helene's old Shasta burned to the ground, but many of the historic buildings still stand. We're not sure at this time when the Courthouse Museum in Shasta, the Queen of the North, will reopen. If you're a writer and would like to submit a script for consideration, please email your script to scratchedup@kkrn.org. Good evening, and thank you for listening to KKRN, listener-supported radio.